This is Clinical Conversations, podcast number 132. Thank you for joining us. We're part of Journal Watch, which tracks new research for working clinicians. Its website is jwatch.org. I'm Joe Elia. Joining me is co-host Dr. Danielle Schurer of the Medical University of South Carolina. Words matter, and especially how we use them in certain situations. This week, our conversation is about the use of words in discussions with patients, specifically words used to discuss a child's overweight with parents. Some words, perhaps meant to be friendly and engaging, are serious obstacles in those discussions. Clear evidence of that comes from a paper released online in Pediatrics this week. Its primary author, Dr. Rebecca Poole, is our guest this time. She is Director of Research and Weight Stigma Initiatives at the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale. Welcome, Dr. Poole.
Thank you for having me.
Your group surveyed some 450 parents of children between the ages of 2 and 18. You were trying to measure their reactions to words commonly used to describe overweight. How did you go about measuring those reactions?
Well, we surveyed parents and we gave them a list of 10 of the most common terms that are used to describe excess weight in children. So everything from weight and unhealthy weight to fat and BMI and extremely obese. And for each of these terms, we asked parents how desirable they found these terms to describe their child's weight, how stigmatizing they felt they would be, how blaming, and whether any of these terms would be motivating to reduce weight.
Okay. And the parents were not necessarily parents of children who were overweight.
That's right. We had a very diverse sample of parents. So about 44% had at least one overweight child, but 56% did not have an overweight child. And similarly, the body weight of parents was variable as well and really kind of matched on to our national distribution. So we were looking at parents with diverse body weights and children with diverse body weights.
And your paper is obviously very timely for a number of reasons, one of which, you know, we have this commonly described obesity epidemic in the U.S. and elsewhere. I was struck by one of the things that you mentioned in the paper about the British public health minister who suggested calling patients literally fat to motivate them to lose weight. But your results certainly show something very different as far as a motivational outcome that would result from such an approach.
That's exactly right. And the situation that you're referring to is one of the reasons that we wanted to do this study, because in 2010, you know, the British public health minister really announced nationally that health providers in Britain should call their obese patients fat in order to motivate them to lose weight. And we know from research that people perceive the term fat to be pejorative and judgmental oftentimes, and this kind of recommendation could potentially reinforce weight stigma and interfere with quality of care. So we really wanted to look at that more closely, and indeed what we found is that fat was rated to be one of the terms to be most stigmatizing, least motivating, and most blaming.
And you also found a couple of other terms that were not well received as far as not only being hurtful and stigmatizing, but also being harmful, meaning that some parents said that they would, you know, do things like put their kids on strict diets or maybe even not return to the provider. So can you explain to our audience sort of what some of those other terms are that really should sort of be on the do not use list?
Well, you know what, I think kind of one of the important points to highlight here is that, you know, while we found pretty consistent preferences across the board for terms like weight or unhealthy weight, which are much more neutral, and terms like fat or extremely obese as being the least preferred, there are individual differences. And I think the point is that rather than making assumptions about using specific terms with patients, that as providers, we really want to be asking parents and children what kind of terminology and language they would feel most comfortable using when having discussions about weight. And, you know, I think this can be translated in very practical ways. You know, as a provider, it sounds much different to a patient when you say, you know, let's talk about your weight today, rather than, you know, let's talk about how obese or fat you've become. And that conversation, the way that it's initiated, can really set the tone of whether it's going to be a positive and productive conversation.
what have you heard back from pediatricians and maybe even parents who have read your study? Were they surprised by your findings, or do you think that they sort of already knew this, but that it solidifies what they should or should not be?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of providers are struggling with how to have conversations about weight. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, these struggles come from not wanting to offend patients, not knowing how to bring the topic up, or not feeling like they have the correct resources to help with the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this can provide a nice, practical, and tangible first step for having that conversation. You know, I do think that the language that we use about weight, you know, it's a sensitive issue. This is a sensitive topic. Mm-hmm. You know, some people have responded by saying, well, let's not sugarcoat this. Let's tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my response to that is that we know from a number of studies that when individuals who are overweight are stigmatized about their weight, that that stigma does not provide motivation for weight loss. That, in fact, when children and adults actually feel stigmatized about their weight, they're actually more likely to engage in unhealthy eating patterns, binge eating, avoidance of physical activity, high calorie intake, so things that actually reinforce obesity. And so, you know, a message that I think is important for healthcare providers to understand is that stigmatizing or shaming patients is not an effective or appropriate tool for motivation for weight loss.
Danielle mentioned that the pocketbook issue, which is at play here. There were some parents who reported, about a third of them reported, that in the face of use of harmful language, if they came out of the doctor's office thinking, boy, that was really insensitive for Dr. So-and-so to say, they would consider trying to find themselves another clinician. So it matters not only to the patient and the patient's family, but it matters also to the wallet of the clinician. And it wouldn't take too many of those conversations, I guess, to really have an effect on one's practice. And you know, not to be money grubbing about this, but it really does have serious consequences, doesn't it?
Yeah, you raise a really important point here, which is that, you know, these findings do have real implications for healthcare utilization. And, you know, we were surprised to see such high percentages of parents who would take action with this. You know, 35% said that they would seek a new provider. 24% actually said that they would avoid future medical appointments if they felt a provider had stigmatized their child because of their weight. And again, these reactions were the same regardless of a parent's or a child's body weight. And we see similar kinds of findings with adults as well, when, especially among obese women, if they feel they have been stigmatized about their weight in a healthcare interaction or setting, they're much more likely to avoid future medical appointments. So absolutely, this has some serious implications.
Well, you know, your work is really, and this conversation is relevant in the face of a CDC announcement today about new steps to combat childhood obesity. And one of the things that the news release says is that these three institutions that received funding will work to focus on strategies, and I'm quoting, that improve children's health behaviors by involving the children themselves, their parents, and other family members and the communities in which they live. So the parents are a key part of this, and clinicians should probably note that well. Dr. Poole, I want to thank you so much for your time with us today. Do you have any words of advice before we let you go back?
Well, I think that I would just add that, you know, providers have good intentions and want to help their patients with this very challenging issue of obesity. But sometimes these positive intentions can be expressed in ways that have unintended consequences related to, you know, blame or bias or negative judgment. And so, you know, it's really just taking a step back, thinking about the language that we use, and recognizing that, you know, having a conversation about weight-related health is very important, but how that conversation takes place is just as important.
Well, Dr. Poole, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was our 132nd edition. Earlier podcasts are available at podcasts.jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time, please. And for myself and Dr. Danielle Scherer, thank you for listening.